If you have your Bibles, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verse 11. And I'll be speaking on the believer's joy. And when we think about, when it comes to joy, it's probably the most noticeable expression, especially during celebrations, holidays, you know, graduations, weddings, anniversary, family reunions, retirements, among others. Joy, of course, can be expressed when your home team, your sports team, wins that championship. Yes, I know, it's been a while. Or it hasn't happened. But I'll tell you this, that the Sacramento's soccer team, the Republic, they are one step close in advancing on the, well, they're already in the championship. It's a matter of winning it now. So they are close. And I'll tell you this, Wednesday night, Sacramento was rowdy and loud, and those 11,000 were in joy of the shootout victory that they had. But when we think about joy, everybody desires to have joy in life, and not necessarily circumstantial, that is, one-time things, but rather continuously. And as Christians, we know that the lasting joy comes only through Christ. Yet when we think about it, some Christians fail to thrive in this divine joy that is the Lord that has provided. And so this morning, from God's Word, may I remind you, for all who have believed, joy in Christ can be an abiding experience as well as an expression. I'm going to take you through, and the first point I want to kind of get you through is not just directly in the text, but just a survey of joy throughout Scripture. A survey of joy, because there are verses that come to our mind when we think about joy in the Christian life. Let me briefly take you through a few. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's found in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, and is the tail end where we shouldn't be grieving. We shouldn't be sorrowful when it comes to worship of our Lord. We're familiar with rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That entire book of Philippians speaks and reeks of joy, the joy that you found in the Lord. We're mindful in terms of what the Holy Spirit does with us. The fruit of the Spirit, the product of the work of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The psalmist urges us to worship with joy. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." Psalm 118 says, "The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad." Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You make known the path of life, God. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And we should know when it comes to droughts, when it comes to dry times, maybe our attention goes back to that verse in Habakkuk. "Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive trees falls and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior." We should know, in terms of words of wisdom through the wisdom literature, Proverbs 12:20, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother." How about this one from Proverbs also? "Deceit is in the heart of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace, they have joy." The book of Romans tells us to be joyful. in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And so I think it's safe to say by the grace of God, for every believer, they're entitled to joy. And by the goodness of God, there is provisions, there is power for the believer's joy. Everyone who has believed, every child of God should have a conscious, a continuous, a contagious joy. I mean, think about it. What is the gospel? It is good news that causes great joy. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. What is death for the believer? Matthew 25, 23 says, enter the joy of your master. What is the goal of prayer? John 16, 24, ask and you will receive, that your joy will be complete. What is the goal of fellowship? The Apostle John wrote about, especially on fellowship in 1 John, but as the 2 John, he says in verse 12, I hope to visit you and talk to you face to face so that our joy will be complete. And what happens in salvation? The psalmist says, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. We should know what happens when a sinner repents, what happens in heaven. I tell you, the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And that's found in Luke chapter 15. Joy is all over. Joy should be all over. It should be evident in the believer's life, not because we deserve it, not because we should determine it, but I submit to you because the Lord declares, the Lord Jesus declares, and that brings us to our verse here. John chapter 15, verse 11. It's Jesus who's speaking, and he's speaking to the disciples, these things that I've spoken to you, that my joy might be in you, and your joy may be full. So today I want you not just notice the survey of joy, of this joy, but notice the source of this joy. The source of this joy is Jesus. In chapter 15, as we think about just the context and the background of this, this is where the last I am is mentioned. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. And of course, we know we are the branches, and the word abide is mentioned several times. As we abide in Christ, abide in the vine, abiding in Christ is necessary to bear much fruit. Keep in mind, even the verse prior, which sets the table for verse 11, Jesus talks about both obedience and abiding in his love. And so we get to verse 11. It says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. Notice the personal pronoun, my joy. Jesus is speaking, this is the joy that he's bestowed upon us, the joy that he wants us to have. It's the joy of Jesus. He is the source of the joy. So when he says that my joy may be in you, Jesus literally wants to take the joy that he has and place it in you. The source is him. The source is Jesus. And he wants you to have this joy. Think about this. The birth of Christ prompted and caused not just any type of joy, but Scripture says great joy. We're familiar when the angels announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds in the field. The first words were, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all people. That great joy was the truth that God, who seemed seemingly far away, had come to them in human flesh. And he was to be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And those who saw him, those who saw Jesus, saw God, saw the face of God, as John 14:9 tells us. And Jesus had come to rescue, to save, to heal, to make mankind right with God. This was the cause for joy. This is not just any joy, but great joy. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two, symbolizing the wall of separation between God and man had been eliminated. And from then on, and even now, all who place their trust in Christ could be forgiven of their sin and inherit eternal life. When Jesus rose from the dead, he conquered death. And for every person who trusts in him, this is the cause. This prompts joy. And it's not just any joy. It's great joy. As Jesus arose, ascended back in heaven to prepare a place for us, as mentioned in John chapter 14, he promised that he will come again a second time to establish his kingdom on earth. In his kingdom where righteousness and justice will reign, and God's people will have places of honor, and we will serve him. And so the trouble of this life is not the end. The tribulations are just temporary. Jesus told his followers, "Take heart, be of courage, for I have overcome the world." The knowledge that soon we will live and reign forever with the Lord is cause for not just any joy, but great joy. This is the joy that Jesus brings, and it's not just any joy, it is great joy. And if you're here today and you don't have that joy, maybe you don't have Jesus. Those who believe in Jesus can experience this joy in salvation that's from him. And Jesus desires that we would just not have any joy, but that we would have his joy, this great joy. We're mindful not only understanding the survey of joy throughout Scripture, understanding the source of joy, but if you're taking notes, following along, notice the sustainability of this joy. The sustainability of this joy. And again, we're just going through this text here. Jesus is not only offering his joy, but he wants you to keep it. He wants you to remain in it. My joy, he says, may be in you. This is a solid joy. This is a strong joy, a sturdy joy, a sustainable joy. It's not a joy just based upon circumstances, because we know that when circumstances are no longer there, so goes that joy. But this joy is based in Christ, centered on Christ, and because he never changes and is always there in us, this is why your joy can remain, especially as you abide in Christ. We may wonder, just how sustainable is this joy? Let me give you three subpoints. There is a joyful steadfastness that goes beyond sorrow. There is a joyful steadfastness that goes beyond sorrow. In John chapter 16, verse 20, Jesus said to the disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will leap, you will weep, you will lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." There's going to be sad times. It's inevitable. If you haven't experienced, you will. You will weep. You will lament. You will be sorrowful, but understand that you will experience sorrow and it will turn into joy. So there's a joy is going to outlast sorrow. There's going to be an end to sadness, end to sorrow. And it's the joy. You know, following that verse in chapter 16, verse 20, Jesus gave the illustration of a mother giving birth where she is in labor or in pain. And she experienced that pain. But after the baby is delivered, she no longer remembers the anguish for a joy that the baby has been born. This is the picture that he wants us to have. There is a steadfast joy that goes beyond sorrow. No one is immune to grief. We all experience sadness. But note this, that your sorrow will end. Your joy in Jesus will outlast any sorrow. You may have a bad day, a bad month, and maybe for some of us, we kind of think, oh, I got a bad year. But there's always hope, and joy will outlast any of these sad or tough or difficult days. And not only is there a joy, a steadfast joy that goes beyond sorrow, there is a joyful triumph in trials. A joyful triumph in trials. We should know this, guys. We should know this. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, count it all joy. My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for knowing the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, count it all joy. And I'll tell you this. Some of us count too fast. For me, sometimes I count too slow. And sometimes it takes me a little while to count it all joy when I do encounter various trials. But there is a joyful triumph in trials. And when you look back, and when you see it the way that God would want you to see it, you will say that God blessed the broken world. Not only is there a joyful triumph in trials, there is an abundance of joy even in the midst of affliction. An abundance of joy even in the midst of affliction. This is the sustainability of this joy. This is the strength of this joy. This is the solidness of this joy, the sturdiness of this joy. When Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, he said, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. And then he says, you received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? When they received the word, when the word became reality in their lives, the truth, they responded to the truth of God's word, they had some tough times. It was difficult. There was affliction. But there was also joy. And again, was not manifested by circumstances. It wasn't determined by any individual. It came from God. The joy of the Holy Spirit. God knows that you will have afflictions. Even striving, even trusting in Him, yet He offers the abundance of joy in the midst of these afflictions. And so this is the sustainability of this joy. This joy is built to last. This joy from Jesus can be experienced even in the most difficult, challenging, darkest moments and times. You know, in the context of this verse, up to this point in the Gospel of John, the word joy had only been mentioned one time. And it was actually not by Jesus, but actually John the Baptist. But in this upper room, in this time that he has with his disciples, as we know that he's going to be facing the cross, he used it seven times, including twice in our given verse and subsequently in chapter 16 and verse 17, or chapter 17. The word joy is used. And he wants them to know, it's not the world that's offering this. It is Christ who's offering this. And there are going to be some difficult times. There are going to be some dark moments. But joy is there. And we should know. Because Scripture tells us in Hebrews 12:2, we should look to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. And what does it say? Who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Joy that was set before him. on the way to the cross, enduring the cross, Jesus told his disciples, this joy is his joy. He is the source of this type of joy, and he is a supplier of this joy that is to be strong in their life, that is to be sustainable in their lives, to be persevering in their lives. This is the believer's joy. This is for us. Jesus wants us to have it, that you may have this joy. And now he goes into that your joy may be full. So we have noticed the survey of joy. We should take note, the source of joy, that's in Jesus. The sustainability of this joy that goes beyond sorrow, trials, tribulations. Now we should notice the sufficiency of this joy. The sufficiency of this joy. Not only is this joy here to, is sturdy, but it's here to stay. It is sufficient. It is enough. Notice Jesus says that your joy may be full. He didn't say empty. He didn't say part way. He didn't say just a pinch, but it's rather your joy may be full. This joy that he has for us that may be full. So God wants us not to have a pinch of joy or a part of joy. He wants to have us the fullness of joy. And we know that as God gives, he gives generously. He gives grace upon grace. Abundance of grace, abundance of mercy, and a joy that it would be full and meaningful in our lives. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. And in your presence there is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. 1 Peter, and we know the context of 1 Peter where there was conflict. There was challenges. And he said this from the very beginning in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, he says, though you not have seen him, you loved him. And though you do not see him, you believed in him and rejoiced with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. This joy is a believer's joy. And even though this joy is available to believers, we have to realize that not everybody's experiencing joy at this moment. You could be a Christian and still be miserable, frustrated. As a matter of fact, you know, when it comes to frustrations, comes to miserableness, the most miserable person on earth is not the unsaved one, because they sometimes could care less, right? But it is the saved believer out of fellowship with God. It bothers them. It challenges them. You can't rest without it. David, after his sin came to light and was confronted, we are familiar with Psalm 51. And he talks about joy. And he says this in a prayer, restore unto me the joy of salvation. And in that Psalm 51, you see the lament of David. He's crying out. He wants it. Because he had experienced it once before. And it's not like he lost his salvation, but he lost the joy of it. And perhaps this morning, maybe David's prayer is a prayer of us. Maybe we are miserable and frustrated. Maybe we do understand there is sin that is diminishing the joy, the fullness of joy that we could have in Christ. And maybe we need to plead to God and ask that you restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me. A couple of closing thoughts, and especially those who sometimes are frustrated, sometimes are missing out on joyful times, or sometimes it just comes and goes. There, just to let you know, there is a difference between happiness and joy. Easy way to understand happiness is the word happen. Happiness is what sometimes happens to you. But joy, the easy way to remember joy is in Jesus. Joy is what is produced in you. And maybe we're wondering why we're so frustrated or why we struggle with experiencing joy, and maybe we're focused more on circumstances and less on Christ. Maybe we're doing some things that are countering in terms of God producing that joy within us. The encumbrances, the patterns of sin that we need to, by God's help, take off. For those of us who are sanctified, sometimes we ask the question, how can joy continue to grow? How can we experience this fullness of joy? How can it grow in my heart, and especially when life seems very, very hard? How is it possible, we may ask, to be joyful all the time? You know, there's times we don't feel like smiling, right? But Paul gives us the key. He tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The key to the Christian joy is his source. The source, which is the Lord Jesus. It's Christ in me, and I in him. And that relationship is not a sometimes experience. It's an ongoing. The Christian is always in the Lord, and the Lord is always in the Christian, and there's always a reason for joy that is centered on Christ. Even if we cannot rejoice in circumstances, which happens, and even when we find ourselves passing through pain, sorrow, and deep grief, we could still rejoice in Christ. We rejoice in the Lord, and since he never leaves us nor forsakes us, we can rejoice always. It's not that all I got is Jesus. It's all I need is Jesus. He is sufficient for us and sufficient for the joy that he desires in our lives as we go about and live for his glory. And even a greater joy awaits us. Even a greater joy awaits us on the other side of heaven. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, Father, we take for granted, we easily take for granted the joy that you bring, the joy of our salvation, which is in the Savior, in Christ alone. Father, not only do we easily take it for granted, it's because we are easily distracted. And sometimes we're most focused on circumstances, and less than focus on you, our Savior. Father, I pray for myself, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Father, that we would grow in our trust and obedience in you, and our abiding in you, that we would see this joy that you have given for us, that you have purposed for us, to be cultivated, to be manifested even more so in our life that influence the way we think, the way we live, the way we give and love. And so, Father, we pray that if there's anything that's hindering us, Father, we pray that we would confess it before you, Lord. Sins that we need to repent, patterns that have been non-productive in our lives, may we lay it aside and put to death things that are curtailing this joy. Father, we're so grateful, Father, for the love that you bring us, the love that you surround us. And Father, indeed, we want to express our gratitude and love back to you. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.